And we are back with the Great Canadian Talk Show online. We have Mike Bossy. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Hello.
Here we go, Mike Bossy. Mike Bossy, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, Legal Curve Radio Show. How are you?
Very good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great. Great of you to come give us some of your time. Mike.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mike, you won 4 cups with the Islanders, and everybody knows that, and that was one of the dynasties. If you look back, you know, obviously the early 80s, was there, looking at the Blackhawks win last week, and you know, it was a difficult win. I wouldn't say it was one of the most historic in terms of difficulty, but which one of those cups for you, not like which one was the most important, or which one was the most difficult to win? Which one was the hardest road?
Well, that's you know what, it's not really that tough a question. The first one, I would say, for anybody who's won either just one or more than one, I think the first one is always the toughest because you know, you're obviously going into completely new territory where you're in the Stanley Cup Finals or if you've been there before and lost, you know how difficult it is to win it. You know, we had a team that had performed well during the regular season for a couple of years in a row and weren't able to make it happen during the playoffs. So I'd say, you know, getting through all the series that we had to and finally being able to beat Philadelphia in the finals was probably the toughest one. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, even though we beat the Oilers 4-0 in our fourth cup, there's no doubt that even though it was 4-0, it still was an extremely difficult series.
And Mike's joining us tonight, by the way. He's raising awareness for prostate cancer, which we're going to ask him about later, and that's a great cause. But first, Drew.
Mike, thanks for joining.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who was the best player you ever played against, and why?
Well, listen, you know, I think I'd be a little silly not to say Wayne Gretzky. You know, the why, I think, the whys have been tallied numerous times as far as why he was the best player. Above all, I think probably Wayne was as good as he was. You know, he had great determination. He had great creativity. You know, For someone to be as unselfish as he was on the ice was something that always impressed me, and his vision. He had unbelievable vision on the ice, and you know, that's what made him be able to see things and do things that a lot of other players couldn't do.
Mike, did you ever feel that the Islanders dynasty was overshadowed as it fell in the middle of the Canadiens dynasty before it and the Oilers dynasty that began right after it?
Well, you know what? If I've mentioned this before, if there's one reason that you know that it was probably overshadowed, is because you know, and probably more so in Canada than the U.S. is because we're an American team. You know, Canadiens love their hockey, and Canadiens. You know, for the most part, appreciate great Canadian teams, and there's no doubt that the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers were great hockey teams. And you know, so I sort of look at it that way. I think if you you know, if you talk to anybody who knows anything about the game, they'll obviously put us in the same category as the Oilers and the Canadiens back then, but I think as far as recognition in Canada, you'll probably, you know, hear the Canadiens and the Oilers first off because they're Canadian teams.
Marty Gold here, Mike Bossy. I was wondering, as we've talked about players, but with regards to the great Stanley Cup run of the Islanders, where do you feel that Al Arbour stands in the pantheon of great coaches?
Well, Al is, you know, when you only play for one coach, you only have an opinion on one coach, you know. So Al will always be in my books one of the best coaches to ever play, to ever coach in the NHL. I got along extremely well with Al. He was a great motivator to me. He was you know, someone who knew how to turned the switch on of the people that played for him, and you know, it was quite interesting and quite an experience to watch him do his thing. And obviously, you know, at the end of his career, he had the Stanley Cups to show that he was one of the best.
Mike, your career was cut short due to injuries, you know, primarily the back troubles you had. Do you ever wonder, you know, what if you had played in, say, today's era where there's so many more medical treatments available to you?
You know what? I don't lose any sleep over it. I'm pretty sure that with the technology that exists today, that you know, I'm pretty sure that they would have been able to either determine exactly what was wrong with my back and maybe find something that I could do to make it better, or at least make it tolerable to play. Whereas you're right, back then, I mean, the technology didn't exist to where it is today. So yes, I do, but I mean, I don't lose any sleep over it. What's done is done. What's in the past is in the past, and really nothing we can do about that.
Joined by Mike Bossy. Mike, the Islanders now are in the process of assembling an impressive young roster. They haven't certainly been the team that you guys were since 83, really. What else do you see the team needing moving forward to become a playoff team, and then hopefully an annual playoff team if you're looking from an Islanders fan perspective?
Well, you know, the team has matured quite well in the last couple of years. You know, Kyle Okposo is turned out to be a real good hockey player, and I'm looking for him to even get better. Matt Molson was a great surprise for the team last year. Josh Bailey, Rob Schremp, two very good young players. John Tavares last year, as a first draft pick, I think had a very good year, and you know, we'll only get better. You know, there are certain players that you watch out there, and you see that they have the hockey sense and the hockey abilities, and it's just a matter of maturing and getting a little stronger, getting a little faster, and you know, getting used to the league. And I think that those guys were doing that last year, and can only get better. You know, obviously, we didn't make the playoffs, but I think I'm really optimistic that the playoffs are in the picture for us next year. And you know, as the young players get better, and we have the fifth draft pick this year, and you know, I'm convinced that that Garth will go get the player that he thinks that he needs to add to the puzzle to make us a playoff contender. So. You know, yes, we're a young hockey team. The team, you know, goes through growing pains and went through growing pains, but I think that they got better and will continue to do so.
If there was one aspect of today's NHL, whether that's a rule or, you know, an attitude or what have you, you know, if you could change something, what would that be?
I don't know if I would change anything. You know, the speed of the game. You know, I mean, you have to realize that without the obstruction and hooking and holding right now, the game has sped up considerably, and you know, that always increases, I think, the risk for injury because of the speed of the game. If there was one thing I'd change, I think I'd put a little more emphasis on the. On the hits, you know, the hits from behind, the hits where the player who is doing the hitting, you know, is not making sure that he's not trying to hurt someone.
Were you happy with what? Sorry to interrupt you. Were you happy with what the NHL did this year with their decision to officially make blindside hits to the head illegal?
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, above anything else, I think that players have to understand themselves that you know, you shouldn't go out there and purposely try and hurt someone. And you know, with the speed of the game and the vulnerability of the players in certain positions, players have to use common sense and make sure that you know. Hockey's a physical game. There's no doubt about that. And hockey is, you know, what makes hockey great is the physical aspect of it. And, you know, when you bring the speed that the game has into it right now, there has to be a little common sense used out there.
Mike, a question. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't get your point of view about international hockey. You, of course, played in Canada Cup competition, and I'm wondering about your own point of view about the performance, particularly of Canada in the Olympics, and how it bodes for the future of the game at the grassroots level, the encouragement that success provides to kids to want to strive to succeed and represent their country in the future.
No doubt it was a positive stride. You know, the team that represented us was made up of players who deserved to represent us, and in the end they came out and played their hearts out and were able to prevail at the end of the game in overtime. And there's no doubt that you know, the young kids who watch the Olympics and watch the NHL and see the performance of the young stars. I have no doubt that it provides a lot of motivation and inspiration for them to someday want to be in the same skates as those players that they saw during the Olympics, and obviously perform for their country and hopefully bring home more gold medals for us.
One last question, Mike, before we ask you about the campaign. In today's day and age, it seems like, at least the grassroots level, from my coaching experience, etc., it seems like at the fundamentally, young players and even some players you see in the NHL now, doesn't seem to be a utilization of the wrist shot as there once was, especially, you know, with you and then obviously Joe Sakic after you. Do you think that's an underutilized part of the game and something that people abandon for more maybe flashier shot, like a slap shot?
Well, you know, flashy is nice, but I always say that it's not how you put the puck in the net; it's if the puck gets in the net. So, you know, that was something that I was, you know, I was more concerned about release than right. than I was about the speed of the shot or how flashy it may have looked, and that's why I developed my wrist shot and snap shot as much as I did. It was just to give myself a little more opportunity, a little more time to release the puck. So. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, slap shots great, but I see a lot of slap shots getting deflected into the netting behind the net rather than into the net. So, you know, I did use the wrist shot a lot more than I did the slap shot back when I played.
Mike, you're one of an illustrious group of athletes currently promoting the Depend campaign to end prostate cancer. Can you please tell our listeners what the campaign is all about?
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, I'm very enthusiastic and very happy to have been asked by the Depend brand to join the campaign and as you said, join the illustrious group of athletes that the campaign has. It's basically, you know, the Depend campaign to end prostate cancer. It says it all right there. And you know, what I'm trying to do is, as well as the other athletes in the program, are bring awareness to prostate cancer and also to tell everybody if they want to go to depend.com, they can see when I went and had my PSA test. The PSA test is a simple blood test. It doesn't take, you know, more than 15 minutes to perform, and you know, the earlier that you're able to detect prostate cancer, the you know, more success that they're going to have at treating it, and it's a beatable disease. Over 24,000 Canadians are going to be diagnosed with the disease this year, and you know, I turned 50. I have four uncles who have survived prostate cancer, and especially if you have prostate cancer risk in your family, you're better off to even be getting tested earlier than the suggested age of 50.
Mike Bossy, you're a three-time winner of the Lady Bing Trophy for gentlemanly play on the ice. We like to see, we're pleased that you've given of your time and you're as much of a gentleman off the ice as you were on the ice. Thanks very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Take care, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. There you have it. Marty, I mean, yeah, thanks again, Marty, for giving me
my
time.
My pleasure. I wish I would have had a little more notice, but anytime we can get, as I mentioned on the air the other day, the last Hall of Famer I had on was Frank Mihaljevic.
Well, there you go.
So, you know, at least we're keeping it, but now I've been trying to decide, like, who's next. I mentioned, I said, well, who should I get on next? Maybe Phil Esposito. And Belinda Squance was sitting in here saying she liked that one. Turns out she used to work at the Jets store. The arena.
Oh, okay.
I said, what did you do with the Jets? She said, I sold pucks. And I thought that was rather odd until she explained it. And then I said, well, maybe I said Esposito. I was thinking somebody little, you know, past that generation. I said Doug Gilmore. She said no.
You have no restriction on that all your Hockey Hall of Famers have to be senators to be on the program or anything?
No, not
like
at
that?
All. As a matter of fact,
maybe Jacques Demers will be
on.
I
will tell you something. I think that a guy like Mike Bossy, who's always spoken with great passion and who's always spoken honestly, and who, by the way, has quite a background in French radio,
yeah.
Quebec.
Yeah.
There are many, many senators he would outperform.
Mm-hmm. That's not a really high bar you're setting there, Marty.
Well, I realize that it sounds that way, but by no means is it meant to demean it. But, Bossy's a guy, you know, when you look at the idea of athletes being named to the Canadian Senate, or athletes or celebrities or broadcasters or whatever, the average Canadian's going to look at it and go, Jim Munson, you know, was a
CTV broadcaster.
CTV on the Hill for 18 years, or a guy like Bossy. Not saying there's anything vastly wrong with Munson, not this second anyways, but the average Canadian would go, well, Mike Bossy, he stood for something. He played for Canada in the Canada Cup. He was a gentlemanly player, highly skilled, never the slightest goony behavior out of him or anything like that. And people would be supportive of that. And, you know, it might be a good idea because you take a look at Mike and what he's done, and it's hurt him. It's obviously hurt him that that for so many years he wasn't part of the game. He wanted to work with Montreal, with the
very badly,
or with one of the teams because he knew he could contribute. And that comes from retiring at a young age, at the age of 30. And he still had a lot to give, and he wanted to be part of it. But you look at the success he's had in radio, the success he's had with the, one thing I noticed is that he worked, maybe still works, for Humpty Dumpty, chip company in Quebec. My dad worked for Humpty Dumpty.
Really?
When they tried the vaunted and ill-fated expansion into the Winnipeg market in 19, I think it was 70 or 71. And they tried to go there was like no chips here outside of Old Dutch. Oh. And there's no Lay's, no Fritos, no Miss Vicky. There's nothing.
Hostess.
I think there was only two kinds of Hostess chips, and they had like no distribution here, is what it was. The two kinds of chips and the matchsticks, right? The hickory sticks.
Sure.
And Humpty Dumpty made a run into the market here, and my dad, having come from the chip business, ended up working for Humpty Dumpty for, you know, however long, 6 months or whatever, which has led to my lifelong addiction. I mean, my lifelong principle of trying any kind of soft drink once and any kind of potato chip once. And my favorite potato chip being and I don't remember who put it out years ago, the steak and onion flavor, because it eliminated the need to actually have a meal.
Steak and onion.
way better than any roast chicken I've ever had.
That was actually Hostess.
Steak and onion was a Hostess chip?
And then...